The blue screen of death. The blue screen of death. All PC users know the blue screen of death. Well, it's blue. And when it happens, your machine dies. You see, I'm self-employed, so I don't have an IT department. And that's one of the main reasons why I ended up buying a Mac. I like the simplicity and the sophistication of OS X. I don't have any of the problems that I used to have with a PC. It doesn't crash. I don't have the blue screen of death anymore.
I'm a PR consultant. My name is Patrick Gant.
Hello, and welcome to Lilcast Best 30 Plus Minute Apple Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah. Very excited to be here today. Joining me, as always, he's undoubtedly going to use the word astonishing at least 10 to 20 times in the next 30 minutes. Leander Caney is here.
Astonishing, yeah.
Astonishing. Also with us, he's the managing editor of Cultimac, and if your story's late, your hide gets to meet the crack of his whip. Lewis Wallace is here. I can't even speak. We're just getting started. I can't.
Oh my God! Let the mumbling begin.
And finally, he's been pumping out your favorite Apple stories all day, all in the shortest jean shorts the law allows. Buster Heine is here.
Oh hey.
Live from yet another McDonald's parking lot.
Dude, McDonald's got some good stuff, you know?
Where did you say you were again?
Casper, Wyoming. It's a boring place. Never visit.
Yeah, but they got a McDonald's.
They do have a McDonald's. Couple. Like two or three.
I've been there. I know about that town, yeah.
Oh, it's horrible,
right? You've
been
to Casper, Wyoming? How random is that?
Yeah, Casper. Super random.
Yeah, that's crazy. Have you been to the McDonald's?
No, we ate at some diner in town.
Oh.
And I'm trying to think what it was called. I can't remember what it was called. I think it was actually worse than McDonald's, but...
worse than the McDonald's in Casper, Wyoming. I find that hard to believe. Well, we are hot off the Apple Gather Round event, and this is going to be just our unhinged, uninhibited reactions to the things that Apple announced. Listen to this. You hear that? We're so fresh off the event that my notes are actually written, scribbles on paper. And it's been so long since I've actually written anything down. I honestly can hardly tell what I wrote because my handwriting is just it's just terrible.
I have the same problem, yeah.
It's like a doctor's prescription. I have no idea what I actually wrote. So we're going to be jumping around from topic to topic, perhaps. And just talking about all the different gadgets that Apple announced. Before we just jump right in, that's all we're doing today. But before we jump right in, let me say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you need a website, may I suggest that you check out squarespace.com/cultcast. As many of you know, I use Squarespace. I am a happy paying customer. I've been using it for years. And I have a developer background. I know what it takes to build a great looking, great functioning website. It's hard. And if you're going to pay a developer to do it for you, it's going to be very expensive. Squarespace makes building a website easy. You'll have a beautiful website up and running in moments. Everything is drag and drop, except it's also incredibly powerful. They have this drag and drop engine that you have to see to believe. You just go whoosh, wang, whiz, boom. You drag and drop in all your different elements. And before you know it, you have a beautiful website that will look good on any device that visits. They have excellent customer service. If you get stuck, you can always reach someone. They'll help you out. They're always adding new features, new templates, new connections with different services. So you can keep your website running and keep a modern website going. You can bring in contributors to help you with your content. They just are constantly adding great new features to the site. I suggest you check it out at squarespace.com/cultcast. Build a website, see how you like it. If you have a business, if you're a college student who wants to promote his skill set, maybe you want to showcase your artwork online, you can do all that and more with Squarespace. And it comes with an e-commerce engine built in. So if you want to sell products and services of all kinds, you can do that as well. And accept Apple Pay. Squarespace.com/cultcast. Build a website, see how you like it. And at the end of the 2-week free trial, use code cultcast at checkout to continue your service. You'll save 10% off your first order. Squarespace.com/cultcast, and the code to use is cultcast. Where should we start? I don't even know. And I would tell you from my notes, but I can hardly read them, so I don't know even where I thought we should start when I was writing all this down.
What about just an overview of how how do you think, it went overall?
Overall, I kind of felt like it was a low energy event. It started off good, and then it slowly started to have some lulls, and they really jam-packed a lot of they jam-packed a lot of stuff in there that wasn't terribly exciting, which was interesting, but not terribly exciting. Like a lot of the like the apps that they had, and they invited some developers up on stage. That stuff made the show have a slower pace. What did you guys think?
I thought the opposite. I thought it was really good. I thought it was quick moving all the way through. I was like, Tim came out. He was like laughing his head off. He was like, he's visibly much more relaxed than he used to be during keynotes. And of course, it was astonishing, the whole thing.
There's one. I'm going to keep a tally. Ding, ding, ding. Every time he says that, I'm keeping a tally. And then I take a shot, by the way, too.
I thought it was interesting. You know, I thought it was quick moving. I thought it was they got straight into the products. So they dispensed, you know, with the sort of corporate updates that often takes up like the first 20 minutes. And I thought everything they said was interesting. I thought the videos they showed were really fun. Uh-huh. You know, especially the new watch ad was really great. Mm-hmm. I was like engaged all the way through.
Buster, what did you think? Because I feel like you may agree more with me.
Yeah, I mean, it was more fast-paced like Leander was saying, but there was like the A12 chip presentation that went on way too long and was boring. A couple of the developer demos were kind of boring. And Tim Cook just had fake energy, I thought. Like when they were getting to the iPhone section, he was just like, "And these are the greatest iPhones ever made!" Like, I just felt like he was really trying really hard to sell it, more than he needed to. Yeah. It was like, cool, Tim. Like, we all know you're a nice guy. You don't shout like this normally, so just chill.
He goes into that fake passionate voice where he is whisper yelling, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, "These are the best products that we've ever made," except he's saying it very loud.
Yeah.
And you can tell that he's trying to be passionate instead of actually feeling passionate about the products themselves.
Yeah. It's probably
that's the difference between him and Steve Jobs and actually Todd Howard, who I love. Todd Howard, he's one of my favorite people. He was the guy that came up to talk about Blades and that game Blades
from Bethesda.
Okay. Yeah, and he is responsible for Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 and the Elder Scrolls series. So in the video game industry, he's very well known. And he has a Jobsian level ability for presentations. Anytime that guy gives a keynote, I find that I am absolutely engaged the entire time, and he had a very small portion of that keynote, but I felt like it was kind of like the best.
I tuned him out, so
yeah.
What's that say?
That I have great taste, and you should follow my footsteps, maybe.
I also just wasn't interested in the game, so
yeah. Well, I wasn't either. I just like Todd Howard, and he has great hair, and he wears cool jackets. Lewis, what were you going to say?
I kind of tuned out during the game stuff, too, because I'm not a gamer, and I always just feel sorry for the person who's standing there on stage staring at their phone playing. but I felt the opposite about all the A12 chip stuff. I was just going, God, I've got to get this. I mean, that's the stuff that I love. You know, like, look at how much faster this is going to be. That's what I'm always looking for, is speed in these things, right? And then when they're talking about that, the neural engine and all the amazing things it allows the camera to do. Oh my God.
Really? You were wowed by that.
I've never seen, I mean, I don't think any camera has ever been able to do that, right? It's crazy. What I mean is, you can take a picture, it takes it with the, you know, your subject in the front, and the in the background is the, what do they call it? Bokeh? Bokeh?
Yeah, the bokeh is the bokeh.
I always thought it was
bokeh. If you want to sound fancy, you could say bokeh.
I thought bokeh
like
sounded.
Like a double bouquet.
A tour. My favorite moment.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you take the picture. The image in the foreground is very sharp, and in the background it's all blurry, which is like what you get with a pro camera and a wide open f-stop, right?
Aperture, yeah.
And now you can take that picture and you can make the background, you slide it right in the camera app, just slide it from super sharp to really dull to super, you know, it's like, oh my God, it's amazing.
Now I want to see how well that works. That is one of those cool whiz bang features, but in practical use, I want to see how well it actually functions, and does it look like real bokeh, or does it look like computationally designed bokeh? That's the thing that I was thinking while they were presenting that. Well,
it has to be computationally, because, I mean, there's no way for them to take the exact same still with 16 different apertures, and right? I mean,
yeah, I guess my point is, does it look like it's computationally created, or does it look natural, like
I think
a optical bokeh creation?
Yeah, and I think all they're doing on that is basically just, like, increasing, decreasing the blur effect, only calling it like changing the f-stop. So I don't really think it's actually changing the f-stop, but
it definitely isn't, especially like because you can do it after the fact.
Yeah.
So you could take a photo and then go into the Portraits app and actually change the f-stop or the look of the f-stop, which is really cool, don't get me wrong. But I want to see how well it actually works in practical use.
Those pictures in the thing look great. I mean, I realize they're pictures that Apple, you know, used.
Yeah.
I mean,
taken
by
a professional photographer.
The pictures that I, you know, stupid pictures I take with the iPhone 10, I think they look kind of amazing sometimes, you know? And I don't know. All that extra speed and stuff, I can't wait to upgrade.
Yeah, yeah, right. I was boggled just the amount of technology. Like, that was what, you know, my overall impression was just like it was like crazy tech, you know, in the watch and in the phones. The amount of technology stuffed into these things is mad.
That seemed to be the highlight of the show, too, is all the different kinds of technology that was packed into these devices. And I was really excited about the iPhone XS Max. Jeez, can you believe they named it that?
10S Max, okay?
Yeah, 10.
Before
come
all
on,
the
dude,
fanboys
get, right.
get hard on you.
What did I say? What did
he
I just
said
say?
iPhone XS.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
Nobody,
forgive me.
That's the other thing is I can't believe Apple's still trying to call it the iPhone 10 when everybody calls it the iPhone X. But
yeah, well, the iPhone 10S Max, that was the iPhone that got me excited, of course. And I was salivating, thinking, oh, man, I can't wait to get my hands on this big, beautiful new iPhone with the huge screen. But then I started thinking, if you took that out of the keynote and they just showed you the iPhone XS, what's the marquee feature of that phone? What's exciting
Nothing.
About that phone? What's better about, how much better is that phone than the current iPhone X? And I honestly couldn't really tell you
yeah.
what the cool new marquee feature is. It's just a bunch of small technology packed in there, but it's kind of hard to articulate those things.
But that's like all of them have that with the A12. And also like all of the previous pluses, like the iPhone 6 Plus and 6S Plus, those all, they didn't really have, like the Plus models didn't really have any greater specs than the iPhone 6 or 6S, just like optical image stabilization on the processor and maybe more RAM. So it's never really been about hardware features that are bigger. It's always usually been about just bigger display.
Well, they added Force Touch on the 6S, didn't they? So that was like the big marquee feature. I feel like generally the 6S or the S phones do get a marquee feature of some kind. And this is the first phone, the 10X, I can't even say it, the 10S, that doesn't have a single marquee feature. Could you tell me, Lewis, what the marquee feature
the
is of the XS? Oh, it's the chip. Okay, but they get new chips every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay.
And it's,
I mean,
you
yeah.
know? Like the 10, it's the XS is exactly like the XR as well. Like, other than the dual lens camera, but also the XR can do portrait mode with like the depth control as well. So there's almost nothing unique about them.
Right, yeah, yeah. That to me was a big issue. It's like, what's the difference between the XR and the XS?
Yeah.
Except, you know, several $100.
And the screen.
And the screen.
Yeah, the OLED
Which,
screen.
Well, does right, that matter that much? Like, does it matter if you have an OLED or an LCD screen for most people?
Yeah,
I don't really
yeah,
think
yeah,
so.
Right.
I don't think so either, which is why I tweeted this out. I think the XR was probably the device of show for me.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the one I'm most excited about, but I think it's going to be the one that people resonate with the most because it's essentially the iPhone 10 in a cheaper package, and they included all the best technology in it. You get the same processor, the same camera, you get a wide gamut color on the screen. They have haptic touch instead of force touch, which I think is good enough. Mm-hmm. You get the same Face ID system,
right.
The same upgraded, oh my gosh, what do they call it? The neural network. All the features that they were touting on the iPhone 10 are going to be in the iPhone 10R. Well, the iPhone
10S.
Right,
it's not exactly, the same camera, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's but like Buster was saying, you know,
it's the same
wide-angle
camera,
Lewis.
It is the same camera. It's just not dual camera.
Yeah, you don't get the telephoto lens. That's
yeah,
all.
Exactly. So
well,
it's still
so
it's still
not
the same thing.
Sure, but it's like the
it's
I think
half the same thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, but like I don't think people I don't really use the telephoto lens that often on my iPhone 10. So, and there's also digital zoom. So I don't really think that's like a deal breaker for your people, like, oh, it doesn't have the dual lens camera though.
Yeah.
Because it can still do portrait mode, and which is why people buy it.
I wouldn't say it was a deal breaker. I'm just saying, I just didn't want people to get confused and think they have the exact same camera.
True.
You're right. You're right. The way you phrase it is right. So it has half the camera. It has just the wide angle. It has the same wide angle camera. It's missing the telephoto.
It's funny Apple didn't use that phrase.
It's half the man
camera
they used to be. Yeah.
Right.
Also, let me run it. No, go ahead.
Well, they never specified what the R stands for either. So I was.
Right. That's
retina.
A good question.
Right. Liquid retina.
Liquid retina.
That's what they call it, the display. So.
You know why I think they used R? Because it's one letter before S.
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
They were like, it's close. It's just one letter down. And you know what I think the S stands for this year? Slightly better. It's the 10. You know, it's slightly better than the last 10. We think that you're really going to like it.
Everyone says that every year with the S upgrades, right? Everyone says, you know, the S is it's not that big a difference. And there's always a load of poo-pooing on Twitter. And then they go sell boatloads. And I thought, you know, I was thinking when I was watching it, it's like, this just proves that, you know, this is why you should buy an S year.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to buy a new phone, you should always really, the best advice is to go buy the S model. Because they get rid of all the kinks and then they add a bunch of new stuff that really makes it great.
That's funny because I was thinking the exact opposite. If you're going to get a phone, you got to get the non-S year because you're getting the biggest marquee features. They always make the biggest, most obvious changes in non-S years.
Right, but then the S year is when they really refine it and really
you get
make
the refinements.
It
yeah,
yeah, but you don't
true.
Get those bragging rights. Like, I can come around with my iPhone 10, and people will still think it's like a 10S. Like, they won't notice, you know? Whereas
right.
when you bought an iPhone 10, people were like, whoa, your screen's so much different than this iPhone 7 that I have, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you just buy your iPhone purely for bragging rights, which I do, so.
Yeah,
well, people
as saying, do I.
Well, people are saying that was one of the problems with the 10R is that, you know, the colors will instantly telegraph to everyone that you got the cheapo phone.
But I don't think that's a problem. In some ways, I think, like, I have a lot of friends who have, like, the SE, and they love that phone, and they're not ashamed of it. So I don't think people will, like, be ashamed of the XR because the XR is also
your
stupid all, expensive. Like, it's
your
$700.
Your friends are weirdo hermits, right? They live in the desert.
Yeah.
True.
They never come out. They don't have no contact, human contact. So
they're like, oh my gosh, yeah.
Well, let's run through some of the other cool new features for the new iPhone XS's. So IP68 rating, this is huge. This means that you can finally comfortably bring your phone into the ocean. You can bring it into a lake. You can use it as a underwater camera if you wanted to.
Is that true? Can you really?
Yeah, they said they tested the phone in salt water.
Yeah, but that was dropping it in for a few minutes. Not
no. IP68.
Didn't they say IP68 stuff about this iPhone 10? Because I broke my iPhone 10 riding down a water slide with it in Mexico, and it was not waterproof. So
you mean it got water in it?
Yeah, like I took it down the water slide trying to film a selfie, and I didn't even go deep, but like just from the splashes and everything, water got in it and messed up the Face ID and had to get a new one.
Oh man, that's not right.
No.
They should do something for you because I believe IP67 rating means that it can be submerged
like
in up
for 30
to
minutes, I think.
No. What did you say? Three meters
or 3 feet?
No. It's not 3 meters. I think it might be 1 meter, like one foot of water for 30 minutes.
It says 1 meter for 30 minutes, and IP68 it says 2 meters for 30 minutes.
Okay.
So the waterproofing is twice
slightly
as good.
Better.
Yeah, I mean you wouldn't want to go scuba diving with it, but they said that they tested it in salt water, which means you could use it in the ocean, in the pool. They said they tested it with chlorine water. Leander's going to be ecstatic to hear this. They tested it with beer, Leander. So
yeah, I saw
finally
the beer one. But the only one that really matters is toilet water. They never mentioned that.
Well, if there's not a big, long turd floating in there, it's going to survive it. But if you've
Well, that
you've got
might help. That would give a nice soft landing, wouldn't it?
Actually, that's a great point, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It wouldn't even touch the water in Leander's case.
Yeah,
right.
Brown iPhone.
There you go.
It'd be 3 feet above it, yeah.
So I thought that was an exciting feature. The screen has 60% greater dynamic range, which I always appreciate when they increase the dynamic range of the screen because it makes your photos pop. It makes your videos pop. You have the AR quick look feature, which I don't know very much about, but it looked really cool. They showed that example where they took a 3D object and they were able to place it in 3D space, and you could kind of like see how it looks on your counter. They use that coffee machine as an example.
I think that's going to be a big deal. Yeah, it's like the IKEA app, right, where they're dropping stuff into the into your room.
Yeah, yeah, it looks pretty much exactly like that. And then here's the part that they pushed, and I think this is unique to the iPhone XS. And this is interesting because it's not really hardware. Well, I guess it's hardware and software. It's a blend, but it's the smart HDR feature that you were going off on, Lewis. And it looked really cool. So it gives you zero shutter lag. So as soon as you open the camera app, it's immediately taking pictures so that when you hit the shutter, it just captures a picture that is already in the buffer for instant photos. And let's see here. It captures second interframe photos so that it can use those to capture better highlights, and then also it will capture a long exposure to bring up the shadow detail. All of these features are supposed to work together to give you a much better looking HDR photo. Now, again, this is one of those features that I want to test. I'm sure we've all taken HDR pictures and looked at them and thought, this looks totally fake, and then deleted it and just used a regular picture instead. So I'm looking forward to testing that one out. The real-time bokeh control looks cool. I would prefer if it were available in real time. I don't think that they let you use that feature in real time. I think you can only use that in portrait mode after you've taken the photo, but we're going to have to get some more information on that because I'm not totally sure about that. You get to record stereo sound in your video, which I thought is very cool. I love any feature that makes recording videos better since I use videos so much. And then you get up to 30 minutes better battery life for the XS and up to 90 minutes more battery life for the XS Max Extreme Edition, which is huge.
People are making fun of that. Yeah, that was like the big marquee feature. Whoa.
The battery life.
More battery life.
And the bigger screen. I mean, those really were the only two cool features I saw from the XS phones.
I really want that bigger screen, but I just don't feel like it's worth $1,400.
Well, you can get the $1,100 model.
Well, yeah, if you want like 2 gigabytes of space, who can survive on that?
It comes with 2 gigs.
Come
yeah.
on. I think like at some point, Apple really just has to stop being a d*** and like make 256 gigabytes the standard, you know?
Well, I agree, especially on an $1,100 phone.
Yeah, it's like you guys are already charging this much. Stop being total jerks.
Yeah, that's right.
But I've been saying that for 20 years now, so.
Yeah, and then we buy the phones anyway. They know yeah. that. That's the thing, is they know we're going to do it anyway.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I've been using my phone for a year, my 10, and I got the 64 gigabyte one.
What?
And I was like, you know, it's mostly empty, but it's actually up to 60 gigabytes,
yeah.
59.1. So I'm nearly full. But I might go for the low one. I'm not sure. We had this debate last time, didn't we? And it was like, I'm not really sure.
We have it every year.
Yeah, the really big one.
I'm only using crazy. 31 gigs of my 64.
I'm only using 64 of my 256. Damn. But I also use yeah. iCloud Photo Library, so that probably helps a lot.
Right, yeah.
Undoubtedly. Yeah, undoubtedly it does. I was going to say something else, really smart and really clever, but I can't remember what my point was going to be. Does anyone else have anything to say about the iPhone XS or the 10?
Well, are you going to get, you know, I'm definitely going to get one, the Max one.
I think I might go to the Max too. Although, Buster, you said something on Twitter that kind of resonated with me, and I had the same thought earlier. This is one of the first S model phones that I'm not totally sure I want to upgrade to. I mean, I want one. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I want the Max, but for $1,100, so they're not cheaper. We heard rumors that they were going to be a lower price.
Cheaper.
They're not.
Yeah.
yeah. So $1,100 plus tax, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I really getting for that price? And we have the Apple Watch, which we'll talk about here in a minute, which I thought looked really cool. And I'm almost certainly going to buy one. And then we have iPads coming out probably in October.
Yeah.
And with all this other new hardware coming out, I'm kind of asking myself, do I really want to spend $1,100, $1,200 on a new iPhone? Well, the answer to that is yes. I just answered my question.
Right, but with a little bit of buyer's remorse, remorse.
Do I want to spend my $1,200 on that phone?
Right.
Not really.
Right.
Well, the other thing that I've thought is like the Apple Watch Series 4 is such like a more tempting product to me, to where I think this might be the year I finally don't upgrade my iPhone and just buy an Apple Watch instead, you know?
Yeah, so you're thinking about getting one too. Is Lewis going to get one? That's what I'm wondering.
Because
you have the Series 3. Is it compelling enough to upgrade to the 4, Lewis?
I don't know. I mean, EKG, Lewis. You lost all that weight. You need to see how your heart is responding to all that. You're getting old. You need a slightly
irregular heartbeat. Okay, great. What do I do with that information? I already know that.
Go to the doctor and get charged a lot of money.
Yeah. I think it's awesome that they have this stuff, and I think those new features are really going to. I think it's going to encourage a lot of people to buy these as gifts for people that they care about, their parents or even their kids, whatever.
Gifts? $500?
You know,
I don't think I care about anyone that much.
That falling thing? What?
Oh, no, that's a lot of caring.
Too expensive for you?
That's a whole lot of caring, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, go ahead, Lewis.
No, I mean, I don't know that I'm going to have to get one of those. I mean, I'm going to upgrade the phone just because I'm on that upgrade program, and what's another $50? The watch, I mean, the watch sounded really impressive, too. I mean, I agree. It sounded, in a way, more impressive, like way more different features and stuff. And I always went faster.
The watch was immediately, like, lust. I got to have it.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, not even thinking about it. Like, just going to go drop the money. I don't care. You know, no, I'm not going to research it. Nothing. You know, it's definitely I must have that watch. It's looked really gorgeous.
I must have that watch.
The good news is you can trade in your old one for like $225 or something.
That's a pretty good. That's not a bad saving.
To who?
To Apple.
Really?
Yeah.
Your Series 0?
Series 3. Series 0, I mean, I think they'll send you an envelope to send it in.
Yeah, they send you a container to put it in the trash.
To recycle. My wife uses my Series 0. It works, you know, adequate for her. She doesn't have a problem with it, but I don't know. If I get another one, I'll probably have to give her this one, and I don't know what we'll do with the old one.
You buy really nice gifts for your friends, Lewis. Have I told you what a nice, cool guy I thought you were? You're really like one of my favorite people. Did you know that?
I'll send you a Series 0.
You smell good. Oh, yeah, never mind, jerk. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to get the Apple Watch Series 4 too. But hang on. Before we move on to that, because we're on the cusp, we're already doing it, can I also just mention one last feature that I thought was new and noteworthy for the XS? And that is the dual SIM card slots.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a picture of this dual SIM card holder that they created to hold the two SIM cards. It's actually really cool. There's a lot of engineering that went into it. But how cool would it be to have a phone that is capable of hosting two different phone numbers? Especially if you're like a business person. How many business people out there have to carry two phones? Imagine just being able to do two SIM cards and you can just carry one phone and have your business number and your personal number all on the same phone. I think that would be really useful.
And traveling, you know? I mean, this could be the end to swapping out SIM cards in, you know, bleary-eyed airports, right?
Oh, we lost Buster.
That hum went away, so I knew Buster was gone.
Yeah. That's what that was. Well, he is at a McDonald's in Wisconsin, Casper, Wisconsin. We got him.
He just ghosted on us.
Maybe he'll be back. You never can tell.
Yeah, I think that SIM card sounds awesome. I don't have any experience with those eSIMs that you're talking about, but I don't know either.
I just like to know I have the option to do it if I need it. And actually, before we talk about the Apple Watch, can we at least run through the XR a little bit? Because again, I think this is going to be a huge seller for Apple. It's such a compelling phone. You get essentially what is an iPhone X in a cheaper phone. I think they said it was going to be $750 to start. Yeah, $749. You get the edge-to-edge screen. You get the IP67 rating, so it has the same waterproof rating as the iPhone X. You get the wide color display with the True Tone, which I actually like True Tone. I think it is a nice feature. It matches the color of the screen to the ambience of the room. I actually quite like it. You get Tap to Wake, which is huge. It's one of my favorite features on the iPhone X. You get Haptic Touch. You have the same True Depth sensor and Face ID as the iPhone X or the iPhone XS and the XS Max. You have the same faster secure enclave. That's what I loved about the XR is Apple's budget phones previously have been budget in very significant ways. This phone doesn't feel like a budget phone. There are a few omissions. You don't get the dual lens camera, but and you don't get Force Touch. But other than that, you get all the best stuff. You get the A12 Bionic chip. You get the faster Face ID. You get the faster secure enclave. I mean, all the cool technology, all the powerful technology, the core technology that they built into the iPhone XS and the XS Max, you're still getting in this budget phone. That's a very compelling device, in my opinion. Plus, you get all the range of colors, which, you know, people love colors. I mean, I prefer my phones, like I prefer my Model Ts in black or white. But, and I know a lot of people like red. They like fancy colors like blue and yellow and all that kind of thing. So that's cool. I mean, it's funny. Does it even matter? Because everyone just slaps their phone into a 25-cent plastic case anyway, right?
Right.
Let's see here. Anything else on the XR? Oh, yeah. You get the same portrait in HDR features. Yeah. Wide color gamut display. I mentioned that earlier. And you get an hour and a half more battery life on the X. I can't even say this. It gets an hour and a half more battery life than the 8 Plus. How about that? I think Apple is going to sell a zillion of these phones. Shall we move on to the Apple Watch now? Because I think that that's probably the most exciting gadget that was announced at the show. Leander, care to share your thoughts on the new Apple Watch?
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's you know, I think it's no brainer. I would go get it right now.
Astonishing,
exactly is right. Yeah, it looks beautiful. It looks, you know, I love all the extra screen space. You know, gives you the room to put on all those extra complications and really nice looking those watch faces they showed off. Just looked amazing. I started actually using, like, there's a jellyfish watch face that I've been using, mm-hmm. just so I can look at it, you know, and just gawk at it when it comes up. The EKG, I'm a little bit on the fence about that. Like, I wonder how often you would use it if your heart's in good shape. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you check it out and it would say, yeah, you know, you're good, and then you would never use it again, because it doesn't actually detect. It's not like, you know, with the other feature. If your heart rate slows down, if it starts racing, it gives you a warning. Mm-hmm. You know, this doesn't do that. You have to actually. I looked at the FDA documents that they used in the filing, and you have to sort of sit. You can't be moving. You have to be sitting still, and then, you know, you have to purposely put your finger on the digital crown to make a circuit. And you know, then it'll do a reading. So it's not like it's going to give you. It's not like going to say, like, if you do develop a dodgy heart rhythm, it's not going to proactively warn you about it.
I also kind of wonder how useful this information is going to be to people. I'm not sure I want a feature like this, because if your heart is doing something strange, it's scary, and you don't necessarily know what to do with that information. It's not actionable information,
well,
right?
It is. That's not true. I think exactly it is. It is actionable. You get yourself to the doctor.
Well, my understanding, I'm not a heart expert. I should caveat that.
I just play one in a podcast.
I just pretend to be one in our podcast. Let me talk to you about sinus rhythms, Leander. Well, the heart is constantly doing all these different kinds of things. And I think most people just think that your heart just beats regularly throughout the day, but like it speeds up and it slows down. And it's like this dynamic muscle in your body. And sometimes if you were to get like a strange heart rhythm, like I don't necessarily know if that would even be dangerous. To have that information always available to you, I feel like some people may obsess over it and right. It might scare them,
yeah.
Even though there might not actually be a problem with them. But because this device is telling you, oh, we detected something strange with your heartbeat or whatever, like if you didn't know about it and it wasn't dangerous, you would just live your life and be fine. But now you have this device raising these issues for you. I just don't know how necessary that would be in my own life, or if it's a feature that would be more useful than scary. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Chrissy Farr, who writes for CNBC yesterday, she interviewed a bunch of doctors, and they were saying this is their, but this is before she was talking to them before they saw, you know, the announcement today. So caveat, you know, they may be sort of, you know, just expressing sort of fears, general fears that may or may not be borne out. But they were saying the same thing, that, you know, overdiagnosis might be one of the problems with this. But I don't see that that's really a problem, you know. I mean, if if you do have an arrhythmia and you go see the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, well, this is something we're going to keep an eye on, or, you know, nothing to be worried about, you know, you don't need a heart transplant or whatever, you know, immediately. It's not a big, you know, if it's not serious, then this is something you could use your watch to keep an eye on, right? Uh-huh. If it's total false alarm, then, you know, you have that reassurance from your doctor and you can continue to check it. And, you know, this is a little bit hypothetical because who knows, you know, what, this is the big thing. It's like, you know, how exactly does the software report back, you know, to you, you know, if there's a problem or not, and how sensitive it is it, and does it, you know, does it send up really alarming, you know, signals, if, or does it smooth it out? I think these are all sort of questions that haven't been answered yet, right? Until people get their hands on it and get to see exactly how they do it.
Yeah.
But I don't see how it can be really, you know, like in general, how can it be a problem if it tells you you've got a problem that's previously undiagnosed?
If there actually is a problem there, then sure. Yeah, but what if it's just telling you, oh, we noticed something strange with your heart,
well, then you
and
go
then
get
you
a...
go to the doctor, and he's like, oh, there's nothing wrong with your
right.
heart.
And there you go. So then, you know, where's
so
the
So you
harm?
Went and saw where? A cardiologist no. for nothing? You know?
Well,
it's not exactly cheap to see a cardiologist.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to fly to Switzerland to see the world's best heart doctor, are you? I mean, you know, you'll go down to Kaiser, and they'll give you a quick EKG, which I think are pretty standard, aren't they? I mean, aren't ECG... tests, you know, for
I would guess, yeah, 10 yeah, seconds.
Yeah,
and
I would guess.
You can also just send them the PDF, right? Isn't that what they said? Didn't they say you can send a PDF right to your doctor?
Well, I was like, PDF? What is this? Print it out and put it in an envelope and, you know, tie it to a pigeon. But I guess they don't have that. That's one of the things that Apple's working on, isn't it, with, what's it called? You know, their medical stuff, their medical kit or whatever it is.
Health kit.
You know, health kit, yeah. You know, a digital... sharing of health data.
Regardless of how I feel about having unfettered access to the rhythms of my heart, it is a powerful feature, undoubtedly, to have an ECG at your fingertips and to have that information available to your doctor. Major kudos to Apple for building something like this in, and having it be FDA approved especially is a major win for Apple. And it's cool to see them taking health stuff so seriously. I think for me personally, the part about the watch that I like the most is just the way it looks. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I love the rounded corners of the screen. I love the shape of the body. I like what they did with the digital crown, how they made that circle. They changed it from a dot to a circle. And it's gray if it's the Wi-Fi edition of the watch, or red if it's the LTE version of the watch. By the way, we are getting a Wi-Fi edition of the watch. We had heard that maybe that wasn't going to happen. And I'm so thankful that it is, because I'm not trying to put an LTE radio strapped to my wrist to sterilize my gonads. I'm not trying to do that. I want to be LTE free.
Are Wi-Fi frequencies
any
better,
Wi-Fi's
though?
Wi-Fi is a lot better for you than...
For your gonads?
LTE. I don't know, man. I'm trying to keep my gonads away from all radio and radiation signals.
Why don't you get yourself some tinfoil underpants?
I know. People make fun of me for being afraid to have LTE strapped to my body. That's fine. But when you have a gigantic tumor on your arm in the year like 2030 and I don't, come talk to me. That, yeah, so plus I don't need the LTE because I don't really want to pay for the functionality of the LTE. So I was kind of worried we were going to get corralled into spending extra money on a feature that I didn't want and I didn't need. So I was really happy to see that we don't have to buy the LTE version of the watch. Gorgeous watch this year. The all ceramic back and the sapphire crystal, clearly they've improved the materials used in the watch. And I also saw that they have quietly discontinued the edition of the watch. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
So no, that's gone as well. No more 10,000 Kanye West
Bye-bye.
Edition of the watch, which I would imagine no one really bought anyway. That never really made any sense to me, to sell a watch that costs $10,000 with the same feature of a watch that costs $300. Kind of seems like a tough sell for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, for us, but, you know, for people who have that money, I think it was a note, you know, they didn't care. They wanted that status.
It's a status symbol, right?
Yeah.
Anyone else have anything to add about the Apple Watch?
Well, the speaker and the new microphone, you know, using walkie-talkie. Walkie-talkie is a really cool feature if you actually happen to know anyone else who you know, has or wears an Apple Watch. Which I don't, you know, like my family won't, none of them will take my old Apple Watches.
They don't even want it for free?
No.
Wow.
My son did, and then I was like, oh, great, I can, you know, maybe I can walkie-talkie with him. But then, you know, a couple of days later, there it was on his bedside table.
Right.
Uncharged, and, he hadn't taken a wear in it. But you know, he's actually interested in sort of doing some cycling next year, so maybe he'll wear it to track his workouts and stuff. But you know, my wife's not interested, my daughter's not interested, so. And I don't know if I, you know, I remember that, like, when that early feature where you could share someone's heartbeat.
Yeah.
Right.
How oh, my gosh.
Was. I had to do that with Rob LeFerv up in Alaska. I'm feeling his heartbeat. I'm like, uh-oh, this is a bit too intimate. A bit too strange.
Is that feature even still in there?
I don't know.
Can you still do that?
I don't know. I think it's gone, yeah.
That's really funny. Okay, I found my notes here. And, of course, there's, like, 15 features here that we should probably mention and haven't yet. So, of course, there's the 30% bigger screen. So, much more screen real estate. Also, the watches are actually bigger. So, the previous versions were 38 millimeter and 42 millimeter. These are 40 millimeter and 44 millimeter. So, I'm going to have to see. Before you buy the watch, it really would not be a bad idea to go to the Apple Store and see them. Because 44 millimeters is pretty large.
Yeah.
And I think the 40 millimeter might be the right size for my wrists. What are you saying, Buster?
No, I just agree. That's what I was wondering. Also, it's cheaper, so that would be nice. Because the last one was 42 right at the biggest end. So,
yeah.
40 is not that much smaller. And, you know.
Yeah. I don't like. $500 too for the 44 millimeter. That's pretty. It's getting pretty high up there, especially if you get the LTE model. I think it's 530.
Yeah, plus you know what they say about guys with big watch faces, you know? It's not good. I don't think
so. Big feet?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that. Let's see here. Fall detection. This is something that I think Leander's probably going to get to use a lot when he passes out drunk and doesn't move for a minute. The Apple Watch will now summon 911 services on your behalf, Leander.
That you was, don't even actually. All the English guys are making that same joke in the chat room when they announced that. It's like, you know, Friday night in England, that's going to be a big problem.
Yeah, the emergency services are going to be overwhelmed in jolly old England. This is a cool service, and especially for older people who have fallen and they can't get up, now their Apple Watch can summon the emergency services on their behalf. So I thought that was a thoughtful feature for sure. It's 2 times faster, which from the reviews I've seen so far of just people trying it out, they said it didn't really seem that much faster than the Apple Watch version 3. And the Apple Watch version 3 is already fast. So this is double the speed of the version 3. It's going to be blistering fast for me. I mean, I have this Series 0, which is so damn slow. They should never have even released it. It's terrible. It's embarrassing to use the Series 3. I kept waiting for it to actually be usable because it was so slow the entire time. I thought, surely they're going to release a software update that's going to make this Apple Watch more usable. Nope, they never did. It's just going to be slow the entire time. And I'm looking forward to getting an Apple Watch that actually, you know, works when you touch it and registers your finger taps right away. Is there anything else? I think that might be it, aside from the bigger complications in the corner and that type of thing. Other than that, I think that pretty much covers all of it.
Did you mention the haptic feedback on the digital crown?
I did not. Thank you very much.
Come on, man. Haptic feedback.
Haptic feedback. I'm very embarrassed that I didn't mention that. And that's going to be... It. What's that?
It's going to be clicking as you spin it.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to be spinning it that fast. I mean... I just select one thing at a time, Lewis. Jeez, calm down over there.
It's also thinner. Did you mention that?
You know, they did say it was thinner, but how much thinner is it?
So the old one, Series 3, is 11.4 millimeters. The new one is 10.7 millimeters.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Almost
so like what?
10%.
So that's like 8% thinner?
Yeah, any amount of thinner is better. I mean, that's the one thing that with the Apple Watch design that it's always just kind of bugged me is that it's so fat.
It is kind of chunky, isn't it?
So I'm especially if you get the big one, it's going to make it seem less big. You know what I mean?
Less bulbous. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to seem like just beefier, but thinner. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited for thinner as well. So. Let's just take the temperature of the room here. Who's getting what? Lewis, are you going to be buying any of these devices?
Well, I'm going to, for sure, I'll be upgrading the phone. I think I'll probably upgrade it to, I don't think I'm going to get the big one. I'm so happy with the way that the iPhone X fits in my pocket. I don't think I'm going to switch to the Max.
So you're going to get the XS?
Yeah. Am I weird?
Why? It's basically the same phone that you have now.
I don't know if you heard this. It's got a new chip that's
so you want that Bionic.
A million
you want
to times go, faster.
I think it's only 15% faster.
No, it's more than that.
I think it actually is 15%
Come
faster.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't think it's drastically faster than that, but
I don't know.
It feel faster.
Yeah,
than
I don't
that.
Know either. In some things, it was. You know, for some things, I think it was 15% faster. But you know, the combination of the six cores and the new GPU and the you know the new neural engine, I mean, what did they say? It was like a trillion.
Yeah, six trillion operations per second, as opposed to only 500 million. Yeah, the other thing about it is, you know, really, I mean, what's it going to cost me? Like $50 to upgrade.
Well, I guess you're just going to trade yours in then. And,
yeah.
Okay. I need to check into doing that because in that regard, it actually is worth it, right? I mean, you're going to be paying for it anyway. You might as well just trade it in.
That's why I signed up. And I, too, got stuck with the 64 gigabyte version of the 10, which I never wanted to get, but it was the only one I could get on launch day. And, it, you know, for about 2 weeks, it started acting really kind of glitchy and slow. It had that feeling of like a phone that's too full of songs or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that's kind of corrected itself. I don't know if that dynamic app management offloaded a bunch of crap in the background or something like that, but because it's like kind of peppy again. But, you know, just as little as a few weeks ago, I was going, oh, my God, my phone. You know, I was checking to see, is it totally full? And it wasn't. It didn't say it was, but I don't know. It was starting to act weird. So I definitely want to get the faster one. I think it'll be worth it.
Well, I think especially if you're just trading it in and you're going to be making the payment regardless, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's why I love that program. As for the watch, yeah, I don't know. I had to talk with the wife about it, to be quite honest.
Well, the Apple Watch Series 3 now is $279. So if you wait until Black Friday, you could probably nab one of those for $220.
I've got a Series 3.
I know, that's what I'm saying, but I'm just saying for people listening to the podcast, the Apple Watch Series 3 is a great watch, and it's going to be dirt cheap now.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah.
Or you can get another one, Lewis, and wear one on both wrists.
Oh.
And his ankles.
Don't forget your ankles.
Yeah, good thinking.
Good thinking, El Caney over there. All right, Leander, we already know what you're doing. You're buying it all.
Yeah, well, I'm intrigued by the R, you know, the 10R.
Yeah.
I gotta go for the bigger size. Like, you know, I really want to see what it's like to have, like, I used to love the plus size phones, and you know, to have a plus with a giant screen like that, I think it's just gonna be great. You know, if you hold it close to your face, it'd be like it being at the movies, wouldn't it? The IMAX.
Absolutely.
I kind of wanted to get a new TV, but of course, you know, the missus wouldn't let me do that. So this is what I'm going to do. You know, just sit there.
But isn't this more expensive than a new TV?
It is, but you know, she's going to get my old. Yes. She's going to get my old 10, which she hates actually. But
she hates it.
Yeah.
Blasphemy.
I know, she doesn't like the old button, you know, and she says it's quote unquote stupid. But you
well,
know,
maybe once she gets used to it, she'll like it more.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, yeah. She said the same thing about every single phone she's had, so she will. She will get.
She
used
just
to
resists
it.
Change
because all the kids are clamoring for it. Right, they're all already, you know, like trying to line themselves up to see who gets.
They're all being nice
old.
To you.
Yeah, I know. For the
Telling
first
you what
time.
A great dad you are. How you raised them so well.
Yeah, I know. And it's working, actually. It's working.
Well, you've only got one, so you should give. You should throw a cue stick in the middle of the room and then have them fight for it.
Oh yeah, like what is it?
Was it Batman?
Right, we're doing auditions. Are you really going to go for the smaller watch, though?
Am I going for the smaller watch? I might. Yeah,
that's what you said. You go for the smaller one.
Yeah, absolutely.
One.
I've thought about getting the 38 millimeter before. It was a little bit too dainty for
they
my
dainty.
Very muscular Popeye sized wrist, but. The 44 millimeter, I think, might be too large, and then it also has a really much higher price
that's
tag.
That's the fashion, though. Have you seen those guys that walk around with their giant Nixon watches? And
yeah, I have seen those guys, and I would prefer not to be one of them.
it's like having a pizza board or something, you know, like strapped to your wrist, isn't it? I quite like the idea of having a big watch.
Well, I might too. I don't know. I have to see it in person. I can't really visualize how big 44 millimeters is. On my own wrist. I want to see what it looks like. But there's the $500 price tag, too. I mean, $500
right,
for an Apple Watch. I barely wear my Apple Watch now. I use it as an alarm clock. I have this really cool Mac Classic Apple Watch stand that I put on my Instagram if you guys want to see it.
Yeah.
And
another one,
it just sits in there.
Really?
So
you don't wear it? You just keep it in a stupid
stand? I almost never wear it. I don't see the point in wearing it oftentimes.
Well,
I mean,
why are you even going to buy a new watch? What a complete waste.
That's what I keep telling myself, but I can't resist. That's why I'm thinking about getting the smaller one, because I know that I might not wear it.
Well, I, you know, like both Lewis and I, we wear ours, you know, I wear mine daily, and I feel, you know, I can totally tell if I forget it or I don't put it on. Like, I've, you know, I feel sort of lost without it, and I, you know, I totally use it all the time.
Well, that's what I'm hoping happens. That's one of the reasons why I want to upgrade. The reason I don't wear the Series Zero is because it's so damn slow. Do you guys remember? It's so slow. Anytime I touch it, it reacts slowly or it doesn't react at all. So I'm wondering if having a newer watch that actually responds to my touch, has more capabilities, has more complications, is a little bit better looking, is something that I might actually wear day to day. That's one of the reasons why I want to buy it.
Makes sense.
Here, here. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, here, here.
I don't know where you get that $500 price, though, man. The prices on these is $399 for the 40 millimeter and $429 for the 44 millimeter.
And you live in a place without sales tax, too, right? So,
Washington State?
Well, yeah.
Washington State has one of the highest sales tax. Well, Seattle has one of the highest sales tax in all.
Drive in Oregon.
Drive over to Oregon or Montana.
Drive on down. No, no, no. You guys are tripping. The price is $399 for the 42 millimeter or the 40 millimeter GPS model, and $429 for the LTE model.
It's
44 millimeter.
$429 for the 44 with Wi-Fi only.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Staring right at the website.
Dude, I don't believe your eyes. You're lying eyes. So the 44 millimeter is only $30
more?
Yeah, that's okay, the same price differential now.
Well, shoot. Now you got my...
Yeah, sold!
Now you got my interest peaked. Yeah, if it's only $30, then I might go for the larger Wi-Fi model. Yeah, okay.
Go big or go
now,
home.
Now my appetite's nice and wet. Okay, I totally lost track of where we were. Oh, so let's wrap up with this, because
I'm going to talk about the things I didn't talk about.
That's exactly what I was going to move to next. So let's talk about all the things that they didn't talk about. Leander, what were the items that you were expecting and you were left wanting?
Well, the new iPad for a start. Like I was hoping that they were going to talk about that, because I'd love to see a new iPad with without a home button. But the AirPower. Yeah, that thing. That's a year overdue now, and that's
they announced that with the iPhone X.
Yeah, mad.
Gone
and
missing.
Not only that, but they have scrubbed it from their website almost entirely.
It's got to be dead now, right? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. I don't know if it's dead or if they are still planning on releasing it.
Well,
but
if they scrubbed the website of all mention, I mean.
But they still have a picture of it on the iPhone X page. They have the iPhone X and the AirPods page. They have the AirPods and the iPhone X sitting on the Air Power Mat together, and with a caption that says "Air Power Mat not currently available."
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I don't know if they just couldn't get new product shots up in time, or if this thing they've just given up on it because they can't get it to work, or what the problem is, but. Yeah, I was surprised that we didn't see a mention of that at all. And because they didn't mention the Air Power Mat, they also didn't mention the fact that the iPhone XS and XS Max have a faster charging capability for wireless charging. They didn't even bring that up.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably because they didn't want people to be like, well, what about that Air Power Mat?
How much faster is it?
I don't know.
Is it 10 watts instead of 7?
I have no idea.
That's what I heard. 10 watts instead of 7.5.
So you need the right charger to take advantage of the extra speed.
Although it doesn't even say on here, right? On the iPhone website. It just says.
Yeah, they didn't even mention it. Didn't even mention it because they didn't want people to bring up the Air Power Mat.
Embarrassing.
I was also bummed that we didn't see new iPads, because out of all the things that they were going to announce, I think I was probably the most excited for new iPads. So we're almost undoubtedly going to get a new event in October, don't you guys think?
Dude, I hope so. It's time for
We have to.
Yeah. October events need to make a comeback.
I think we're going to see an October event with new Macs, perhaps the Mac Mini that we've heard rumors about, new iPads with Face ID, and maybe the Air Power Mat. But then also new AirPods will probably be coming in October. They got to get their whole update or their whole line updated before like the holiday season, because that's when everyone's dropping all those dollar bills, y'all. Like Lewis is just giving out Apple Watches to his friends, and they got to make sure there's plenty of product for Lewis to purchase for his good and close friends, of which I would consider myself one of those people, Lewis. And I hope that you feel the same.
Let me check the I mean, you're definitely the best looking person
that I know. I just want you to know that. And I just, it's always fun to be around you.
You're so observant.
Yeah. And if I had a new watch, I could tell time better, and then I wouldn't be late to like our hangouts that you haven't invited me to yet.
We could walkie-talkie.
Oh, there you go. Think how much fun you'd have walkie-talking with me throughout the day.
How's your new watch, Airfun? Oh, it's great.
That's great. I love it. Thanks, best friend Lewis. Man, you're the greatest guy. No. Thanks for my new Apple Watch. Okay, is there anything else that you want to mention, Leander, before we wrap it up?
Oh my God, there was something, and I've completely forgotten what it was.
What was it?
My tiny little brain.
That they didn't talk about, or that they did? Were you going to talk about the environmental stuff?
Well,
or is that just too dull?
No, I think the environmental stuff is. You know, I'm doing a post, and I'm going to run it tomorrow about Lisa Jackson.
Yeah.
And the fact they brought her up to talk about the environmental stuff they're doing, and you know, one of the things I learned doing all the research for the Tim Cook book that it was easy to miss is that, you know, Apple's work in the environmental area is really big and really significant. And you know, it really is big. You know, the fact that they're running all of their operations on 100% renewable power is a big deal. Samsung just announced last week that they were going to do the same thing by 2020. And I think, I'm not even sure that includes, and that's only in three countries, China, Europe, and the United States. But Apple is, you know, of course, Apple's announcement is a big deal because it runs all their data centers and all their offices and retail stores worldwide. And this is not, they're not just sort of doing carbon offsets, and they're not buying green power and, you know, and sort of pushing other people out. They're not buying up existing stuff. They're adding. This is all additional new green renewable resources. Hmm. And, you know, a couple of the journalists, I talked to a couple of, you know, analysts about this, and they're saying there's a big change going on in the energy market in the States, you know, despite, you know, what you hear in the political sphere about, you know, coal and trying to prop up, you know, these sort of old, the old carbon sources of power. China is pumping out so much solar and wind is so cheap now. I mean, you know, they're cheaper than traditional sources of power. So just from pure economics, like the entire energy sector is switching over really fast in a big and significant way to renewable energy sources. And then people like Apple, but also with Facebook and Google, you know, they were big reasons, you know, this switch began because they were pouring money into this, you know, and they helped the sort of learning curve and bring the prices down and also to get the utilities interested in investing in this kind of stuff. So I thought it's significant they brought Lisa Jackson out to talk about this, you know, their environmental things, because, you know, I know Cook is, this is one of the big things that he's doing. He's using Apple's massive power to, you know, help switch over to more environmental friendly, not only renewables, but also, you know, the recycling and this, you know, this closed loop product manufacturing process, you know, where they're going to, they're really serious about trying to manufacture new products out of old products. They don't want to be doing any more mining. You know, they don't want to be bringing out any more aluminum. And there's all sorts of reasons. One of the best reasons is that the aluminum, the phone, is really the best aluminum that you can buy. Like it's a waste to see that go into a landfill somewhere because it's so good. It's so pure. It's really, really good aluminum. And they'd love to be able to reuse that stuff, you know, like in future products. So, you know, this is something they've just started to do. As you know, during her talk today, you know, like it seemed like only small amounts. You know, like a small amount of tin and a small amount of plastic that's being used in the new phones. But this is a major effort of theirs that's going to be ongoing. And we're going to see a lot more, you know, action in this area. And I think they're really serious about doing this. You know, they want to be recycling or reusing all of their old products to make new products.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Because if anyone can make an impact in that area, it's Apple with their massive amount of resources. Right. And if companies know that Apple's willing to put their money behind new ways of manufacturing and new ways of breaking down products or recycling products, it really could make a huge difference, I think.
Yeah. And this would be a massive change because you can imagine that all the industries did this, you know, like cars and everything, you know, it would be a huge change in the way that, you know, we treat the planet. I'm really actually quite hopeful about it. Like a little research I did, you know, I think if you read the, you know, it'd be kind of depressing about climate. Look at this huge hurricane that's bearing down on North Carolina. There's two more lined up behind it, you know, and there's massive wildfires and flooding and all sorts of environmental disaster. And it's easy. And, you know, the UN was just warning that if we don't make any change by 2020, that's it. There's going to be runaway, uncontrollable climate change, you know, that might turn the planet into something like Venus. And if you start reading this stuff, it makes you terrified. But you know that. But then the reporting I did about, you know, what Apple's been up to, and talking to some of the experts there, there's actually a lot of hopeful stuff going on too.
Well, even if there are like Category 7 and 8 and 9 hurricanes, they have to create new classes for them. You'll be indoors, but think how much fun you'll be having on your new iPhone 14.
Pressed against your face, yeah, right. So you can't see the giant tidal.
So it's not all bad doom and gloom, El Caney. Jeez, right. there are some silver linings to those hurricane clouds that you're talking about. Anything else that we should mention before we wrap it up?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good keynote, and the products look fantastic. I'm really jazzed about this. I saw a lot of doom and gloom on Twitter, you know, on the internet.
Yeah.
But it's always the same, I think. You know, every year you see the same stuff, people complaining. Like, you know, there's always like a whole bunch of nitpicking going on. But
I was going to say, wait a second. You saw doom and gloom on the internet? Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, it's funny because you don't see, I don't see a lot of positive stuff, do you?
Well, I think the negative stuff gets clicks, so that's the kind of stuff that people focus on oftentimes. My reaction to this keynote is a little more tempered than yours. I was happy with the keynote. I don't think it was as exciting as you did. And again, I came away from it thinking if there was no announcement for the 10S Max, this would kind of be a ho-hum iPhone announcement. There are no big marquee features, exciting, easy to articulate marquee features in this iPhone. It's the iPhone XS slightly better edition. I really kind of feel that it's not a huge improvement over last year's iPhone, and that's okay. Not every year has to be some giant leap forward, and I still want one of the phones, but it's just not as exciting as some of the years or some of the announcements in past keynotes. I don't mean to poo-poo all over your parade. You had this right. Great parade going, and then here I came poo-pooing all over it. But that said, I am very excited about the Apple Watch Series 4. Definitely my most the gadget I was most excited to purchase from this particular keynote, and I'm very much looking forward to new iPads and new Macs in the October keynote event, because I really want a new iPad. Now that I've decided I'm going to buy one, I can't stop thinking about that new delicious iPad with Face ID that I just can't wait to get my hands all over. Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. I can't believe we spoke for an hour with the minimal amount of information that we have on these devices, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised. That's all the cool casts we have for you guys this week. Hey, tell us what you think about the new devices. Did we miss something? Is there something that you thought was really cool that we didn't talk about? We're on Twitter. I'm at Arifon. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Buster is at BST3R. Leander is at L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time, y'all. That was me. It wasn't Tim Cook.
Oh, wow, really?
You guys thought he was here, didn't you?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, my gosh, Tim Cook's there.
We got to get back to more Tim Cook impressions.
Yeah?
That's my favorite part of the podcast.
Really?
That's the only reason I tune in and listen every week.
I somehow got the impression that you hated them.
No, I love them.
Really?
Yeah, I love Tim Cook. I think you should be just doing Tim Cook. I think you should do it in character as Tim Cook the whole time.
I should just be Tim Cook for the entire podcast. Right. You know, I was hoping you were going to make that suggestion. I was hoping for that, y'all.
I think I love the Tim Cook. I love the Tim Cook jokes. They always tickle me.
Do you want me to write a forenote for your new book about me?
Oh, that's not a bad idea. All your favorite recipes?
Sure.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. three. Buster, did you clap on that first one?
Yeah, I forgot the first one.
Okay.
Forgot?
I had a drink in my hand. I couldn't just put it down, you know.
I see.
Are you drinking an Ole?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's a 40-ounce.
Old English.
Yeah, Old English. So Leander knows what it is. Well. I listened to him rattle it off. He knew exactly what it was. He's probably got one, too.
I don't, but I know what it is.
Do any of the Old English actually drink the Old English?
No, it's some filthy American drink.
Yeah. Oh. It's what gangster rappers used to drink.
Yeah.
It's like Eazy-E.
Eazy-E!
Yeah. He's what got me onto it. That's when I started drinking Old English.
Gee whiz.
Yeah. It's not too bad. It's pretty cheap, though, Lewis.
Yeah.
Trying to get your party on.
So is bum urine.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. I'm not even shocked that you know what that tastes like.
Well, I do live in Poo City. It's a city drink.
There's just a fine mist of it floating throughout the air everywhere. Anytime you open your mouth, it just goes right in. Anytime the temperature is above 75 degrees, it's just like fog.